This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman.
Hi, Lisa.
Today on the show, I have the very good fortune of interviewing a comedian who talks about relationships. And so, right out of the bat, Liz Grant, just want to welcome you to the show so we can just have as much connection with you as possible. Say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Liz and I have been talking. Oh, my God. Let me tell you all a little bit about Liz Grant. She's really hilarious. She's been a stand-up comedian for 9 years. She won the Brian Regan Impressionist Contest in 2008, and she's a writer for George Carlin's Laugh.com. She was a writer. What happened? Did they fire you?
He died.
Oh. How do you feel now?
Don't even say that, because I love George Carlin to no end.
I wrote for them before the dot bomb, and then so it was a short term relationship, like all my relationships.
As we're going to talk about in a moment. So Liz has a show. It's called Deja Wince, Lessons from a Failed Relationship Expert. And, you know, I've just been going through so much in my relationship. The economy's gone to hell. You know, we need to laugh. So thank you so much for being on the show today to bring some humor to our sometimes crazy and chaotic lives. Speaking to the deal, though, I'm talking into a life-size, giant, ginormous what looks like a dildo, so she's making all kinds of very fun faces.
Just foam off the top of it, sorry.
We really should do video.
It's too late.
You know, I could get my flip camera and we could add a little vlog.
Oh, Elisa, just stay focused.
I don't want to. All right, let's talk about you. Okay. Let's talk about you. So, was being a comedian your lifelong ambition, or did this come out of the woodwork? What happened?
I'd always fantasized about it, and was sneaking into clubs before I could drink. I was sneaking to clubs with a fake ID so I could go to open mic nights and watch. And I finally got on stage, Tommy T's, San Leandro, and bombed horribly, and was scarred for several years. And I've always wanted to do it. So I 2000, decided, well, you know what? I'm 30. I'm going to be dying soon. And I had better do this deal. So that's my story.
So did you go get some training in those years that you were horribly scarred? Or has this really been sort of an organic process?
I took a couple of classes, and also the San Francisco Comedy College for a couple classes. But you know, it's kind of like learning to surf. You know, if you can learn to surf in the waters in San Francisco, you can surf anywhere. So it's the same thing with open mics. If you can survive an open mic, then you can survive, you know, any having a dildo in mic in your face.
I love it. I love it. So in the early days, were you always talking about relationships, or were you focused on different topics back then?
I can write for pretty much any topic, but a lot of my stuff did come out of my dating and marriage to my first husband. So I had tons of material from that. And then, as you know, there's been another dating and marriage episode. And so, what are you laughing about?
You're just so funny. I just am so glad that we can laugh about this, because normally it's so heavy and we're talking about, you know, counterdependency and codependency and how needy we are. And it's just so funny to talk to you. You're hilarious.
Oh, thank you. I'm also, okay, go ahead. You're hopped up on the tea, but that's all right. It makes me funnier when you're on caffeine and chocolate. I'm much funnier. Yeah. Thank you for getting me doped also.
Two women on chocolate and China rose tea. It's my favorite. It's a black tea, but
there's anything wrong with
Well, let's talk about your first marriage. What happened? How'd you meet him? What was the attraction?
I actually met him. I was moving out of an apartment, and he was moving in, and we saw each other, and I knew I wanted to know him somehow, and then we dated a little bit. I was drinking and using quite heavily at the time, and you know, we were friends, and we made out once, and that was too much for me, so I took off, and I didn't talk to him forever again, and then went back to make amends to him for, you know, just leaving his life, and my way of, you know, making amends was then let's just go ahead and move in together. So I took a hostage. That's what happened. But yeah, we moved in after 4 months of dating.
Wow, that's pretty intense. Do you think the drinking, and what were you using? What is that?
I was using methamphetamine. I was smoking weed like 3 times a day. Yeah, coke and crank and drinking.
Holy shit. So how was that? Thank you for being so honest.
Sure.
Maybe we should do a show on your drug use.
Oh, that's a whole nother one woman show.
Wow, so that's going to be intense. But 7 years. So tell us, what was that like for 7 years? I mean, did you sort of get out of, was that a phase, or was the whole relationship sort of based on that kind of behavior?
Well, no, it was, I had been sober a year when I went back to make amends to him. And, you know, it was based on friendship, actually. And we're still, you know, friends, and we've had some wonderful conversations. And basically, we were both very, very immature, mm-hmm. and thought that, kept waiting for our arguments. We're like, you be the bigger person. No, you be the bigger person and end this argument now. I can't be the bigger person. You need to be the bigger person. And it was just ridiculous, you know. Don't worry, that's not in the show. It's much funnier than that. But it was that whole dynamic, you know, arguing about who was going to do the dishes. And, you know, I will, if we're low on dishes and it's not my night to wash dishes, I will drink out of a vase before I do your dishes. So I was very immature. And, you know, we had a lot to learn, a lot of growing up to do. And, yeah. So it was painful and it was sad, but we ended as gracefully as we could have. You know, we went to a lot of therapy together. I went to therapy on my own, and just realized it wasn't going to work no matter what. So, but he's remarried, and we've all gone out together, and it's been really great. So
how did you grow? What was one of the areas of growth for you out of that relationship?
I think that not being so selfish and just, you know, trying to be the bigger person and say, okay, you know what? It's the thinking about it as a team. You know what? Right now, one of the players is down and injured, you know, so I gotta pick up some slack. But I think it was also just deferring, you know, that wanting instant gratification for things, you know, and also not being able to take any kind of criticism. So I learned a lot about that, just, you know, saying, okay, well, you know, marriage is difficult in that you're trying to find a perfect roommate, a perfect sex partner, and then also have to live with all these things that are not really glamorous. Like, he was lactose intolerant, and I, you know, our bed was covered in matches that he was actually considerate enough to light matches in the middle of the night under the covers. Because, you know, he was off-gassing, but, you know, it's just like, that doesn't make for, you know, hot sex when there's, you know, matches all over the bed. But, no, it's just trying to figure out how to keep, you know, viewing the other person as, you know, an attractive person, even when you see them at their worst, you know, it's like...
It's really funny to me. It really is, because it's like, what do people think relationships are about? You know, we have all these romantic notions about frolicking on the beach and jumping in the waves and feeding each other grapes. And it's like, yeah, we would hope that it's like that at least, you know, like 10% of the time. But
the first 10%, which unfortunately it's a stereotype, but it is, it does tend to be true that's, you know, I don't know. It's very difficult to live with anyone. You know, but that's why I was telling you about that book, Mating in Captivity, about like needing distance, you know, to create more desire. And, you know, I don't know. But bottom line is why it didn't work. I just think, you know, I think I was 25 or 26 when we got married, and I had been, you know, I had a lot of Dane Bramage from my drug and alcohol use. And I just think that, you know, basically we grew a lot together and did as much as we could, you know.
What are some of the things that you talk about in your, what is it again, lessons from a failed relationship expert, Deja Wentz? What are some of the things you talk about in that show that are directly pulled out of your first marriage?
Well, about the not... I do give relationship advice, which is a joke because I don't have any. I don't know how to make them work. Absolutely. I have nothing to offer. But I know what doesn't work. And that is, you know, like relaying too much details about what happens in the bathroom. You know, like I wish there was more mystery. Like my first husband, one time I saw him limping down the hallway and I wish he would have told me he had a leg cramp. But he told me he was crowning.
Little turtle head.
Yeah, and then our this is a true story. On our honeymoon, he shut the door of the bathroom and said, "Baby, I'm going to give you the opportunity of a lifetime. I didn't flush to allow you the opportunity to go look at what I did in there." And, you know, I didn't go look, but it was...
The spiral snake, the spiral snake.
Exactly. He told me it was... I don't want to.
Can you tell I've lived with men?
Yeah, exactly. It was my spiral snake. He was very proud of the fact it was a boa constrictor. But things like that about him. Also, he was a germaphobe. And, you know, he, an intermittent germaphobe, you never knew when it was gonna surface or not. So, you know.
What do you mean, like a touchophobe? Like he didn't want to touch things?
He didn't, like, sometimes he'd be like, "Oh, your breath smells like a human's." Or, you know, I just, like, one time he was, oh, God, I don't know if I should tell the story.
Tell it.
Okay, this is not in the show. But he was also very thrifty, cheap. And he had special UV coating on his glasses, which you could only wipe with these, you know, special, the special cloth. So he comes back from a bachelor party and I'm looking at him. So you never knew when he was going to be a germaphobe or not. And it's like, I'm looking at him. I said, "What is on your glasses?" He said, "Well, I couldn't find the cloth to wash them off." And I go, "What is it?" He goes, "Stripper pussy juice."
You gotta be kidding me. On his glass. You're like, "Oh my God."
Yeah. You know, and like he would immediately wipe my pussy juice off his glasses. I mean, you know. So what is it? I guess the difference is that he paid for it. I don't know what made it different, but.
Oh my God, that is so funny. So he wouldn't wipe it off.
Not until he found the magic cloth.
Oh, that is so funny. Oh my God. So what ended it? What happened? Why did, what, you know, you just fell out of love?
Well, it was basically that we just realized we unfortunately tried to work together. He was helping me at my business and not working at his regular job. And there were several things. But, you know, basically we just decided that we just couldn't make it work anymore. We just tried trying, just being exhausted from effort and no fun and nothing was working. So we just kind of made that decision. You know, he made me say it so that I could be the one, I think, but,
another bathroom experience. I'm going to flush your leg.
What?
Flush your life down the toilet.
So that's it. Yeah. That was marriage number one.
All right, before we go on to marriage number two, we're going to take a break to support our sponsors. So listeners, check out these ads. I would love it if you could support these sponsors. They help me bring these great experts like Liz Grant, failed relationship expert, to you. And so I'd love it if you can check them out. I'm Elisa Kreitman. We're with Liz Grant talking about the oh-so-fun trials and tribulations of being married. No, what is it? Dating, married, and divorced. And we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Renee Stevens, host of Inside Out Weight Loss. If you want to be a thin person, you have to learn how to think like one. Learn how on my weekly show that aligns mind, body, and spirit for lasting change. That's Inside Out Weight Loss, How to Think Like a Thin Person, on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back. This is Elisa Kreitman. I'm with stand-up comedian Liz Grant. And before the break, we were talking about Liz's first marriage and some of the funny things that happened there, some of the things she learned. And so now I want to talk to you, Liz, about your second marriage. I think it's always brave after one marriage to go at it again. And it sounded like you were young, you know. I think that happens to a lot of people. You get married young and you know, you just don't know what being in a relationship really entails. And you always grow. You know, they say women change their entire life at 28, that whole Saturn return. So maybe that had something to do with it. But let's talk about marriage number two. She's thinking, she's pondering that. I don't think she knew that then, but
hippie talk right there.
All right, I'm out. I'm a hippie. So let's talk about bachelor number two. Husband number two. What was it with him? How'd you guys meet?
Oh, we met through friends. We had known each other through this group of friends. We'd seen each other. And, you know, they always say, you know, pay attention to, you know, your physical sensations when you're around people. And I saw him. He's a very square jaw, you know, and he smokes cigarettes. Reminds me of, you know, the past life or something. It's just... he moves real slow, real confident, and I just thought...
Sounds like the Marlboro Man.
The what, Marlboro Man? Yeah, exactly. He always wears an ascot. no, the Marlboro Man doesn't wear an ascot. But I just remember this feeling like, wow, I want to punch him. I remember like feeling like, wow, he's something else. He's very confident about what we're not sure, but he's very confident. And, you know, women like that because they can relax. You know what I mean? It's like if someone else is in charge, then I don't have to worry. But I once got a massage from like a man who was not very confident, a professional massage. And he was like shaking the whole time. I know. And it's like, I couldn't relax. And then, you know, I felt like, at the end, I had taken advantage of the massage therapist. Like, Big Mama says you can be late with the rent anytime. That was very good.
There's your impressions coming in now. I love it.
Okay. So, yeah. So, basically, we met through friends and had a crazy romantic dating thing. He wasn't working at the time, so he spent all this time courting me. I mean, I'd come home and it was like, you know, massages and baths, and I mean, it's just, you know, he was like, I calibrated your tweezers, and I mean, it was just, he did all kinds of stuff for me. I built a shelf.
I made you a bicycle.
Out of wood. But anyway.
I darned your socks, honey. That's kind of cool.
It was cool.
Did he go back to work?
Yeah, it was the old babe and switch, you know what I mean? I was like, what the hell happened? But there were many factors, but yeah, we got engaged after 8 months, and I think we were married after we'd been together a total of 16 months. And, you know, here I am in your living room.
Talking about it. So what were one of the signs? And how did you feel? You know, you had one relationship that, you know, failed, as you say. And so what was going through your mind when you thought the second one might not work out?
I didn't want to tell anyone, you know, it was very embarrassing. And, basically, you know, I think thinking it's, you know, it's all my fault, you know? So, you know, and I don't know what was going through my mind. What was not going through my mind was, this is going to be funny someday. Someone said to me after we decided we were getting a divorce, or I found what I found, and it became very clear that we were getting a divorce. Basically, someone said, oh, but it's going to be great material. And I'm like, oh, no, it won't. Oh, no, this is tragic. You know what I mean? Like, this is not, there's not going to be no comedy around this. Plus, I didn't want anyone to know, because certainly, I mean, come on, two marriages and two divorces, and I'm not even famous yet. I mean, there's got to be something wrong with me. You know, I don't want anyone to know.
It is a stepping stone. Will you share with us what you found?
What? Oh, what I found? No, I won't. But it was very clear that he was outsourcing our sex life.
Like that movie, Outsourced. Yeah. You just did it.
To the Chinese.
painful. Yeah. You know, we did a show on that earlier. You might want to listen to it. Decker Kunov talks about, like, I don't know what it was, whether it was pornography or what, but why men do that. And it's very emotional. It has very little to do with the physical act of sex.
Right. Well, and you know what was offensive to me was that it was so something I could have done. Like, really? Hand jobs? I mean, like, if it involved heavy equipment, you know, if it needed a harness or a helmet,
then maybe not.
Hey, I would just be like, you know what? I need to tap out of this marriage, you know? Go ahead and bring in a fresh opponent, because I'm not going to be able to help in this regard, you know? But it was friggin' hand jobs, you know? Mm-hmm. And I would have only charged him 20.
But you bring up such a great point, because it's pervasive. It's pervasive in our culture, and I think it's becoming more and more common to find that people are outsourcing their sex life, whether it's through pornography or through affairs, you know, whatever it was. We'll just kind of leave that there. But that what Decker Kunov was saying is that emotional needs aren't getting met. So what do you think about that?
Well, that would mean it was my fault again.
Why?
Emotional needs aren't getting met. Well, that's the thing, is that I kept saying, hey, what do you need? Yeah. Not just physically, because he actually did tell me that he didn't feel safe with me emotionally. And so, you know, we went to a lot of therapy, and I said, hey, you know, will you make a list of things that you need from me so that I can provide them for you? And, you know, when someone doesn't give you that list in over a year so that you can't win, well, then you know what? I mean, and then he just kind of went back to doing what he was doing, which I think, you know, it does stem from some sort of inability to be close emotionally. But, you know, I think if it's not, a person's not willing to get treatment for that, what, I mean, it's not very funny right now what we're talking about, but I mean, it is very serious. I think there is a lot more internet porn addiction and just, you know, a lot of disconnect in general. And, you know, I have my own lessons to learn about why I would get involved, you know, with someone who, so people say, well, maybe you're the one with the intimacy issues. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I do on some level. I'm sure we all do, you know. So I have to look at my part in it. And also, why was I so willing to ignore, you know, ignore all the warning signs?
Yeah. No, it's true. And I'm glad that you're dropping this down into a more serious thing, because we do use humor to sort of kind of buffer the intense feelings that come up around things that are, you know, deeply important to us. And dating, relationships, and sex, I mean, this is like forever a hot topic in our lives, especially for women, because, you know, it's like you were saying, we live in this culture where it's like there is such a if not spoken out loud, that it's pervasive in our culture that to be married is some kind of achievement, and to maintain a marriage is some kind of, you know, success, and that it is a deep kind of scarring failure if you haven't done that. And so you have to, like, rise above all of this societal crap about, you know, marriage as an institution in and of itself. I know lots of friends of mine who just buck that entirely and have all kinds of alternative relationships and things like that. So have you thought about that? Like, maybe marriage just isn't for you? Maybe you're supposed to live in a commune of nudists?
I prefer a clothed commune because there's a lot less upkeep with waxing and pedicures. I just want to go back and say that he may or may not have had an addiction and that he may or may not have outsourced her sex life, just in case he may or may not be Sue happy. But anyways, I just wanted to say that.
Like he might sue you.
Yeah, he might sue me for all the money I'm making on this podcast. Give me back that chocolate. So, you know what I thought about, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think marriage is for me. I think ideally I would, like, if I found someone I wanted to be with, live in side-by-side duplexes, yeah. You know? You handle your business over there, and I will, you know, because the daily living stuff to me is very unsexy. And it's trying to negotiate all that, I think, is unsexy. And, you know, I don't know who said it, but it's like the amount of time that you spent together on domestic stuff, you know, affects your, it's inversely proportional to the amount of desire that you have to each other. So I would have separate finances. I would probably like be one of those people who like, okay, if we want to get engaged, let's say we'll be engaged, but let's get, you know, married when we're like 70 when neither of us can run.
And you're trapped.
Yeah, trapped, literally and figuratively and physically. You know, it's just, I don't know. I think that we are not, I think there are some very lucky, blessed people who find their one and only. But, you know, they say we're compatible with some 500,000 people. So I'm doing actually pretty good if I've only married two.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. I'm trying to keep it positive. But, you know, we'll see.
So how's dating now? What are you doing? I mean, I'm sure the dating scene is much different than it was maybe way back, even at the first marriage. And so I don't know what your gap was like, but are you doing online dating?
Now, when you say my gap, is that some kind of joke about my vagina?
No. Wasn't there a gap? You have it on your card.
I'm sorry. I'm emotionally immature. Remember, I'm the one.
There were 3 years in between marriage one and two.
Wide gap. Oh my God, I just realized something. I really liked the older guys. I liked the daddy thing. Was walking through North Beach with one of these older guys I was dating. He was actually only 53 and I was, I think, like 32. But he was really good looking, really hot, really fit. And but we walked past this strip club on Broadway and the guy out front was like, "You guys want to come in and see a show?" He said, "No, thanks." And then he heckled us and said, "We're having a father-daughter special." And I was horrified, and he thought that was the best thing that ever happened to him. Like, you know, anyways, so I like the older guys, quite a bit. Actually, older guys take their time in bed. They're, you know, they court you. They usually have money to court you in terms of, like, you know, and even if a guy doesn't have money, I just want to take his time and, you know, let's just get to know each other before we, like my mom always says, it's hard to go back to what's your favorite color after having sex, you know?
Right. Totally.
It's hard to go back to, you know, after. So, and then I did some just like reckless casual stuff, but I realized, like, for me, not reckless with, I mean, we use protection, but just emotionally reckless. Like, you know what? I just like I would love to be able to just hook up with someone. I don't have time for a relationship right now. I'd love to be able to just hook up with someone and have, you know, a monogamous, but, you know, just sexual relationship. And, you know, this guy, I said, can we just like hook up like once a week or whatever? He couldn't do that. And it's like, huh.
Interesting. Yeah. He wanted more.
No, he didn't want more. He was the one who wasn't even committing to getting laid once a week, even though we were totally into each other physically. So, I don't know. I think people don't value what they don't pay for. And it's like, you know, I think he thought if it's this good, have you ever seen something on sale and you're like, no, they're not asking enough money for it. It can't be any good.
Never.
Alisa, you've never seen something that they didn't want enough money for and you didn't like it? Really?
I'd have to think about that one. When I see something that's on sale, I go crazy, like, and then I really like it.
Yeah.
And I think, what a gem. And then I want to treasure it.
Yes, but if it's too cheap.
Oh, yeah, that's true. If it's too cheap. But then what is that? How do you relate that to a person, though?
Well, if you give it up too easy, I think it's, why would someone want something they didn't?
Oh, got it. Got it. Totally.
Right.
Is that what you were doing?
That's what I tried with this guy. I just said, hey, look, I don't want to be seen with you in public. But you're a Scorpio. And this is hot. And he thought it was hot, too. But it's just, you know, to me, it's like, really? You can't even just call once a week for a booty call? That's as least the least amount of commitment. You can't do that. So whatever.
Wild.
And so, did you do any speed dating, online dating? How are you meeting these guys?
Well, that was an online date. Oh, God, I did chemistry.com recently. And I think that's actually the best of all the sites out there because it's based on the anthropological information, basically brain wiring.
Really?
Yeah, they have you check like the length of your finger, this finger right here, if the mother's brain washed testosterone over the, the womb. You know, she had testosterone washed over the baby's brain in utero. When this finger is longer, those people are better with spatial relationships and all kinds of stuff. So,
oh my God.
You should check it out. It'd be perfect for your show. Dr. Helen Fisher is an anthropologist. So this is not a pitch for them, but I studied it quite a bit because I wanted to, you know, snatch.com is just like, it's basically just... It's just like anyone can get on there. To me, it's like if you have to fill out the survey, you know, you have to at least, you know, I don't know. It's
snatch.com. That's so funny.
And have you noticed how eHarmony is using like the two hottest people that have ever on there? Do you even have a TV? Oh my God, you're so San Francisco. There's no TV here. What are those books?
No TV.
Oh my God. Bet you don't have a dishwasher either.
No, you know why? I don't. And I don't have a microwave, but I just want to say that here's what's cool about not having a TV. I went on to YouTube last night because I wanted to take a break from some work I was doing, and I found, you know, Seth Rogen from Saturday Night Live doing My Dick in a Box. Did you see that? I mean, I feel like he's probably done that years ago, and I'm just finding it now, but it was so funny. Him and Justin Timberlake, dude, My Dick in a Box, My Dick in a Box. And I jizzed in my pants.
Well, I'm glad.
That's what I do for fun.
Well, welcome. I'm 7 years later, I'm glad you finally know the joke.
Yeah, somebody told him, like, I'm going to look that up. I went to the recesses of my brain. Anyway, let's get back to your dating.
Yeah, all about me again, please. What did you want to know? Okay, so I've dated here and there, but you know what? I'm done now at this point. My friend goes, Liz, I think you got enough material. And it's true, I do. And all of it, you know, like I know you're into the cosmic stuff, so I'll get a little cosmic tip out, so to speak. But basically, all of it was a divine mess. You know what I mean? All this dating, because it gave me so much material. Like I dated an angry guy, and that gave me material. And then I dated a guy for 9 dates who I think was gay, and that gave me material. And then I dated a Chinese guy, and that gave me tons of material. And then I was saying how much material I got from dating a Chinese guy, and a Japanese guy goes, hey, would you like to enjoy more of the hairless varietals? And I said, oh, yes, I would. And so I dated a Japanese guy, and I got tons of material from that. So, you know, I actually had too much material for this show. It could all have just been on marriages, and I could do a whole nother one on dating. But anyways, I just condensed, you know, the absolute best and funniest painful experiences. So
give us a snippet from your Chinese experience.
Well, first of all, let me just say that someone said maybe he was the one who I think was gay. Maybe he was afraid because we went out for 9 dates, okay, and we only made out once. He was hot. I mean, he was really fine. I had never been attracted to Asian guys before, but he was a hot, like bad at math hot. You know what I mean? Like, oh, he had beautiful lips, like nectar pillows. And I mean, it was just, oh, he was hot. So it was interesting after dating him because someone said, well, maybe he thought that you were going to find out about his penis size. And you know what? First of all, I'm an optimist. And the way I look at it about penis size, like, hey, you know what? I'm half full. But from dating him, it wasn't necessarily anything other than, you know, I noticed that you kind of like when you buy a new car. After I was dating him, I started noticing that there are Chinese people everywhere. It is like a sea of Hunan beings. And so that's some of the trail I got from him. And then also I got a whole bunch of stuff about penis size from him, but you know what? The Japanese guy, I never got to see the Chinese guy's penis, but some people think that Japanese guys have small penises. Oh no, this Japanese guy, it was beautiful.
Wait, is he Japanese-American? Was he a blend or straight up Japanese?
Straight Jap. Okay. Is that wrong to say? Is that just racist?
Yeah, I think you might want to say Japanese.
Straight Japanese.
And he literally was a straight Japanese man. No questions, as opposed to the Chinese man.
No questions what?
About his straightness.
Oh, no, about his straightness, no. There were no questions. But anyways, I don't know. Dating is interesting. You have to definitely work on your self-esteem and your self-worth and know that, you know what, just kind of be zen about it. Like, you know, just do who's in front of you.
That's funny. I remember way back when I was dating, I was on this TV show called How to Get the Guy, and I had never done online dating in my life. And so, you know, there I am on 5 different sites, and it was really difficult. I mean, you just get inundated with emails, so you can't even track it. And then when I don't know what I was thinking, like, here I am. Oh, yeah, I'd like to meet you. We're going to be filmed by a national television studio while we're having, like, why did I think that I was going to find anybody on the TV show?
You never know. I see. Here's the thing is, you never know where. I mean, I think we all want to believe, you know, like, this is going to be the big it, you know, and it never comes from the who knows? Like I said, I don't believe that there's a one anymore. Right. Like, I believe that there are lots of people on the continuum. And you know what? Why not just take the best parts of it and just take it for what it is and enjoy people while they're in your life, you know, rather than saying, no, dude, you got to, you know, get all your S together so we can, you know, financially be, you know, I don't want to have to worry about a guy's finances and you shouldn't have to worry about mine. That's why I like the duplex. The marital duplex is like, not even a marital, but it's like, you know, be engaged or whatever. And like I said, we'll hook it up when we're 70, you know, and we'll get a better break on our taxes or some deal that makes sense. But other than that, I don't think people bring their best selves to their marriages because it's just an assumed Saturday night date. So where's the thrill in that? You know what I mean? Like, there's something about it that I really like, the predictability and knowing, but I don't think people are on top of their game. That's why there's a standard joke is you stop, you know, having sex and you get fat. And, you know, I could tell when I would, you know, I could tell when I'm fat. I don't have to ask the question. It's like, whoa, what's this touching the back of my leg? Oh, it's my ass. Okay, so time.
You don't need to say, honey. You don't even need to put him on the spot.
No, and don't ask questions you don't want the answers to, and don't turn him into your girlfriend either. Do you know what I mean?
I know. There's so much. I mean, I'm in it myself, and like, yeah, there's the whole engagement process, which is a lot of the things that you're talking about. Like, what is going to be the financial layout of this thing? What do we want from this agreement? Did you find yourself asking those questions when you were with either your first marriage or your second marriage?
About the finances?
Just like those questions that everyone's afraid to ask, like, you know, how much do you have and are we putting it together and what happens if, you know, this happens? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, I was smart. I married, both guys were Capricorns. And they're both financial advisor types. So basically, they did the growing up financially for me. You know, said, look, the taxes, da-da-da-da-da, you need to do this, sign here, blah, 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 which is a good thing and it's also a bad thing. Because I also did not know, especially with the last one, what exactly was happening. And I didn't want to know. So those types of growing up things I've had to learn and to face my own, you know, I'm overwhelmed with trying to learn how to allocate 401k or whatever. So what? Face it and grow up and do the deal, you know? And so what if you're bad at math and, you know, you hire someone to help you sit down and figure this stuff out? So it's like knowing what your weak spots are rather than relying on the other person to be your everything, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I'm in, sister. I really think that that's such a key point. And thank you for bringing lightness and levity to, you know, our lives and really bringing some joy into what can be a very trying and challenging situation. Thanks for doing that for, you know, so many women who've been through divorces and think that, you know, there's no guy out there for me. We can find the humor in all of it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, if like I know people say, well, if I can just help one person, screw that. I want to help three to five million. But no, seriously, something so embarrassing as being married and divorced twice, and you know, kind of knowing what I knew, but getting married anyway. It's so what? You know, it's like if we can turn our pain into assets, you know, all the better. And I'm not afraid anymore to say, hey, look at, I quote unquote blew it. I'm not sure if there are such things as like, you know, failures, because it just getting me closer and closer to, you know, to my best self. And so as Oprah would say, so call me Oprah. I've got some tips for you.
That would be funny. I'll have you back when you're in love, and then we'll have a new father for that. So let's see. You're actually going to be at the Clubhouse here in San Francisco through August 29th. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's an every Saturday show. It's at 5 o'clock because us old people, you know, trying to be funny at 10 o'clock at night, most of us, you know, brains are shutting down about 8:45. So I wanted to have an early show, and I wanted to have it every Saturday so that people can't make excuses for why they can't come to see it. So it's going on for the next however many months is that? 5 months. And so basically, if you're in San Francisco or surrounding metropolitan areas, if you don't come see this show, you can suck it.
Please
come see the show.
And it's at the Clubhouse, 414 Mason at Geary. Oh, my God. And so to find out more about you, where should we go?
You can go to your apartment. sorry. Can you cut that? That was stupid. Stupid idiot. You can go to LizGrant.com. LizGrant.com, just like it sounds. I don't have a funny name spelling. There's no Y in Liz.
Not L-I-Z-Z.
No.
And it's Grant, not Grand.
Exactly. LizGrant.com.
Oh, God. You're funny. Thank you. Thank you for being on Just for Women. You've definitely satiated my desire to just kind of blow off some steam and have some fun about relationship and not really have to plan an outline.
Well, yay. Glad I could help you deconstruct on air.
Oh, well, there you go. Thank you for listening, everyone. I'm Elisa Kreitman, your hostess with the mostess. Now, see, I'm trying to be all comedic. Thanks for tuning in for Just for Women. Dating, relationships, and sex. Tune in next week for more juicy news you can use. But also, I forgot to say the piece about text and transcripts. You know where to get them? At personallifemedia.com. So know that that's there. And also, you can email me at Alisa, A-L-I-S-S-A. personallifemedia.com, or you can leave me a message. We've got a phone number that you can call. I would love that. I would please be the first to call me and leave a message. Oh, Liz has got my phone. She's going to call me and leave a message. Speed dial. Okay. The number is 206-350. She's dialing. 5333. Leave me a message.
206-350.
5333. Leave me a message. I'd love to hear what you have to say, feedback, questions, requests for people you want me to interview. All right, signing off. Tune in next week for more juicy news you can use. Namaste.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.